Today's Mishnayos are Mesechtes Peah, Perek Zayin Mishnah Ches, and Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. Today's Mishnayos are being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Reb Aryeh Tzvi Ben Reb Chanoi Hendel, the Kozhaglov Egoyin, Hashem Yimkoim Damai. So the topic of the latter part of the seventh Perek of Mesechtes Peah dealt with the laws of Matnas Aniyim as it relates to a kerem, as it relates to a vineyard, as it relates to grapes. We've talked about Peret, we've talked about Oilalis, we've talked about Kerem Ravoi. The last Mishnah is going to continue on that note. Zokta Mishnah, Makdish Karmoy. If somebody had a vineyard and he made it Hekdish, out of the goodness of his heart, he decided that he's donating his vineyard to Hekdish. Actually, no Dubai, Oilalis. And at the time that he was Makdish it, it wasn't noticeable that there was any Oilalis inside this vineyard. After he made it Hekdish, all of a sudden the clusters start growing, and lo and behold, there's some oilless. So the Mishnah says, "Ein ha'oilless la'aniyim." Hekdish keeps the oilless. The aniyim do not keep the oilless. Bishenoydu b'ya'oilless. However, once the oilless was nicker, a person had a kerem and he was able to identify the oilless. There there's oilless. There there's oilless. And then he says, "I want this field to be hekdish." Oilless la'aniyim. Hekdish doesn't get the oilless, but rather the oilless are going to belong to the aniyim. What's the reason? Who owns the oilless? The aniyim owns the oilless. The halacha is, Ein Adam Makdish Davar She'ina Shalai. A person can't make something Hekdish that doesn't belong to him. So just like Ein Adam Makne Davar She'ina Shalai, a person can't be Makne something that doesn't belong to him. Ein Adam Makdish Davar She'ina Shalai. You can't create any Chalois on something that doesn't belong to you. Therefore, if the oilus belongs to the aniyim, even though I own the vineyard, that gives me the right to go ahead and be makdish the vineyard. But those grapes that are inside the vineyard that belongs to the aniyim, that's not mine. Ein adam makdish davar she'ina shalai. And as a result, it's not going to be chal hekdish. However, if the person was makdish it before the oilus was nicker, then it's not going to be an issue. Why not? Because ad shaloi noidu by ha oilus, the oilus doesn't belong to the aniyim yet. Because you know when the aniyim are zoiche in the oilus? As soon as it's nicker. When it's nicker, that's when it's theirs. But until it's nicker, they don't own it. And even once it's nicker, they don't own it l'mafreya from the time it started growing. The kinyin, the bailus of the aniyim goes into effect as soon as it's nicker. So that's the halacha of the Mishnah. It's extremely straightforward. If someone's makdish a field and there was oilus, if when you were makdish it, the oilus wasn't nicker yet, at that point you own the whole field. You own the whole field. You have a right to be makdish the field. If, however, at the time that you were makdish it, the oilus was nicker. Oh, once the oilus is nicker, now the aniyim own the oilus. Once they own the oilus, I can be makdish the field, but I can't be makdish what belongs to the aniyim. Why? Because ain't other makdish davar she'ina shalai. And if it's for that reason, the halacha is that part of it is not going to be hekdish. Stating that, we have another sheet. In the Mishnah, Rav Yosi says, "Yitnu schar gidulav lahekdish." In the case that a person was makdish a field and the oilus were nicker at that time, the oilus belonged to the aniyim, no question about it. The ani is going to keep the oilus. However, the ani himself has to give schar gidulav lahekdish. He has to take the value that his grapes appreciated from the time that the person made it hekdish until now, and he has to write a check, he has to give it to the aniyim. And the reason, and he has to give it to hekdish. And the reason is because even though the aniyim own the oilus, but the field belongs to hekdish. So the aniyim's oilus are growing in a field that belongs to hekdish, which means the aniyim are benefiting from hekdish. I mean that they're benefiting from hekdish, and I'll take anything from hekdish. It's me'ila, you have to make hekdish whole. And for that reason, that's something they have to give. One last halacha. Ezoi hi shikcha baris. So we talked about peret, we talked about oilus, we talked a little bit about kerem ravoi, all related to a vineyard. Now we're going to talk about shikcha as it relates to a vineyard. So just like shikcha relates to all crops that grow in a field, it relates to a vineyard as well. The Mishnah is going to discuss now, very, very specifically, very acutely, how the laws of shikcha apply to a vineyard. Ezohi shikcha ba'aris. What's an example of shikcha in an aris? An aris is a field, a vineyard, where there are grapes, but the grapes are like very high. This is something that we actually had earlier in the Masechta, in the laws of Peah. We said that even though ordinarily Peah, the Baal HaBayis is not supposed to touch the Peah, he's supposed to just leave it there, but there are certain circumstances where we want him dafka to make it a little bit easier for the aniyim to get it. One of the examples was a dullis. We have vineyards that are growing high on top, so if the aniyim is going to have to go take it, he's going to have to climb up a ladder, he's going to have to climb up a tree, he may hurt himself. So therefore, we tell the Baal HaBayis to make it simple. So that's what this is. Ezo is shikcha baris. What's the example of shikcha when the grapes are high up? So shikcha is, I'm walking through my field, I'm collecting things, right? I'm harvesting, I'm picking up the bundles, and I pass something. What does it say in the Torah? Le'sasha lekachti, you're not allowed to turn around, you're not allowed to go back in and get it. If a person would pass these grapes that are high up, and he passed it to the point that if he turns around to stretch his hand out, he wouldn't be able to chop it, at that point, it's going to be considered shikcha. So really, what does it depend on? Kol she'ina yochel lifshet az yada. You can't stretch out your hand, filutla, and take it. If, however, it's still within arm's length, then it's not going to be considered shikcha. Uberoiglios. What happens if a person has gefanim, but the gefanim are not on top of a tree, they're not on top of a wall, on top of a fence, they're on the floor, and you just walked over it. Shi'avri men, as soon as you walk over it, at that point it's going to be shikcha. So even if you can turn around and get it, it doesn't matter. As soon as you pass it, it's going to be considered shikcha. If it's high up, even if you pass it, you're allowed to turn around and try to get it, as long as it's within arm's length. If, however, it's low down, as soon as you pass it, at that point it's too late. Hadrin Allah. The seventh perek of Masechtas Peah, and that brings us to the eighth and the final perek of Masechtas Peah, which begins, not shockingly, talking about the laws of Matnas Ani, and really what the entire Masechta has been talking about. Zokt Dehilige Mishnah, Perek Ches Mishnah Aleph. Me'ema Sai Kol Adam Mutarim Beleket. So, who gets Leket, Shikha, Peah, Peret Oilus? There is a point, however, the Mishnah says, at which we say that anybody that wants to take it is allowed to take it. Now, what does that mean? I thought you have to give it to the Oni and the Ger. Why would somebody else be allowed to take it? The Teretz is Pashat. The Teretz is because there is a point where we're going to assume that the Oni was Miyayish or the Oni was Mafker. Meaning he gave up on it. And because he gave up on it, at that point, any person that wants to take it is allowed to take it. So our Mishnah discusses at what point a person is allowed to take leket, when he's allowed to take peret, when he's allowed to take oilus. Meaning at what point is a person allowed to take the matnas aniyim, which is another way of saying, at what point do we assume that aniyim gave up? At what point do we assume that the aniyim were already masiach das, they were miyaj? And if this Mishnah sounds familiar, it's because this Mishnah is mentioned in the beginning of Masechtas Tainis, and even more famously, in the beginning of one of the most famous Prakim and Shas, at the beginning of the second Perek in Masechtas Bava Metziah, in the beginning of Perek Elu Metzias. So Zok Teilige Mishnah, Me'imas I call Adam Mutarim Beleket. When is it that any person that wants to take the leket is allowed to take the leket? So the Mishnah says, Mishe Yelchu Hanemushois. Once the Nemushois walk through the field, at that point, any person that wants to take it is allowed to take it. And the Gemara in a few places brings the Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, what exactly Nemushois are. The Gemara says, My Nemushois. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Sabi Da'azli Atigra. It's talking about old people that they walk on a cane. These people were usually hunched over a little bit, and as a result, they're literally walking with their head to the ground, so they see everything on the ground. So once these Nemushois, these Altari Eden, they walk through the field, if they left something behind, at that point, you can keep it. Meaning all the Aniyim Amiyayish, they said, uh-oh, I see the Nemushois walking through the field. They don't miss anything. So if the Nemushois walk through the field, at that point, you're allowed to take it. That was Rabbi Yochanan's taich of the word Nemushois. Rish Lakish had a different taich. He said, Lekute Basa Lekute. He said, what it means is sometimes fathers would take their children, they'd bring them into the family business to go collect the leket shikcha and peah. So the father would go, and then the son would go after him, so that everybody was, there was like a tag team, where they're not going to miss anything. According to Reish Lakish, that's when the Nemushois are, and it's at that point that we assume that once the Nemushois go through a field, all the other anim already give up. So when is a person allowed to take leket? Mishayelchu hanemushois. Prepared for oil is, at what point is any person that wants to take the prayer to allowed to take it? Mishayelchu aniyim bekerem v'yavayu. As soon as the aniyim go through the vineyard, at that point you're allowed to take it. B'zeisen. At what point are you allowed to take the olives? Mishateirid reviyah shniyah. So that's really more dependent on a date on the calendar. As soon as the second rainfall of the season falls, which is Chaf Gimel Marcheshvin, the 23rd day of Marcheshvin, at that point, anyone that wants to take it is allowed to take it. Meaning, up until that point, Aniyim is still hopeful of dugging again. Once that happens, at that point, anyone can take it. Amr Abhidr Abhidr said, Aloy Yesha, Inim Moiskim, as they say, El Ach Revi'ah Shniyah, can't be. You can't tell me that once the Revi'ah Shniyah, once Chaf Gimel Marcheshvin comes, at that point, anyone wants to take it can take it. You know why? Because sometimes people didn't even harvest their olives by the Revi'ah Shniyah. So people don't, they didn't even create any leket, and shikha at that point. So how is it possible that that's the cutoff line if people didn't even start working by that day? Ella, so what is it? Rabbi Yehuda Gedesh Ani Yotze V'lo Yehei Mevi Barba Yisar. So you want to know what the date is as it relates to Zesim. If there's going to be so little in the field that if an Ani is going to go into the field, he's not even going to be able to take out 4 Isaris. That's like a dollar amount. You won't be able to take out 4 Isaris worth of leka. If there's so little in the field, once the word spreads that there's so little in the field, at that point, any person that wants to take it, not only Aniim, is allowed to take it.